title today is Jesus is My Jubilee. We're going to start out today with a little Bible history lesson, so I want you to turn with me to Leviticus chapter 25 this morning. Leviticus is not a chapter or a book of the Bible that you go to very often. In fact, you've probably never heard very many sermons out of Leviticus, but we go to Leviticus today. And I was so happy that Maddie was able to get up here and do her routine for everybody. She's so proud to do that. And she is such a special, special little girl, and we praise God. Well, one reason that she is very, very special is because she thinks I am the greatest preacher in the world. And do you know why she thinks I'm the greatest preacher in the world? Because I'm loud. She likes that. Leviticus, if you turn to Leviticus chapter 25, we're going to read verses 1 through 12 so you get a feeling of what's going on here. And the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. What grows of its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of the unattended vine. For it is a year of rest for the land. And the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you. For you, your male and your female servants, your hired man, and the stranger who dwells with you. For your livestock and the beasts that are in your land, all its produce shall be your food." Now verse 8. "And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be 49 years. Don't get confused yet. "Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all of its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee to you, for you. And each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a Jubilee to you, and it shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your intended vine, for it is a Jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field." Every 7th year, the land was to rest. 6 years you had to farm, 6 years you had to tend your vineyards, but on the 7th year, a year of rest was given to the land. The Sabbath year was followed by a special year, the year of Jubilee. 7 Sabbath years would pass. So 7 times 7 equals 49, and on the 50th year, the shofar horn would blow throughout all of the land, and it was a year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee was a stabilizing reset year. Land that was sold in the previous years would go back to the original owner. Can you imagine that? A person would be debt-free. The poor would be liberated. Slaves would be set free. It is interesting to point out that the Israelite people would be in the Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Why 70? It totaled the number of Sabbath years the people had violated. And the Lord was going to give that land that rest. Now, if you turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, it tells us this. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 20. In verse 20, it says this, And those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, modern day Iran, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So for 490 years, the people had disobeyed God because they had not been honoring the Sabbath year as God had commanded them. But the land would receive its Sabbath years of rest because he would make sure, and they were carried away to Babylon. How does this even relate to us today? How does this even relate to us today? Well, it's amazing because we're going to look at a connection today that will just amaze you of what God is trying to do in your life through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 4, now we go to the New Testament, and we're going to see how this relates. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. When you get to Luke chapter 4 and you get to verse 16, and I love this passage of Scripture. In verse 16, it says this of Luke 4. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up and his custom was, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of the sight of the blind." That is the Lord Jesus you serve today. Amen. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant. And he sat down and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was announcing the fulfillment of the prophecy to the people. And he read from the book of Isaiah in chapter 61. In verse 21, he says, "Today, this scripture is being fulfilled in your ears." In verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Saints of God, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Savior of the world, the only begotten of the Father, he is our jubilee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He fulfilled that. Jesus had a prophetic mission. What was that mission? To proclaim the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. Through the adversary's temptation and the original sin, look at what mankind has lost. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, you all know the story. It's the temptation of Adam and Eve. It says the serpent, verse 1, Genesis 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it.'" Before the fall, everything in the Garden of Eden was perfect. Do you get that? Perfect. Adam and Eve were united with the Father. They were not separated. They would face the second death because they sinned and disobeyed God. But it wasn't supposed to be that way. They were supposed to live forever. No sickness. You know, there weren't any thorns. There weren't even any thistles. There wasn't any fear. There wasn't any anxiety. There wasn't any of those things that were in the world until this day that it happened. Adam and Eve went to hide themselves. Fear entered the world. Why did Eve doubt God? Because Satan accused her, and Satan says, oh, you surely won't die. Doubt entered the world. There wasn't no doubt before that time. They lived in a perfect world. Before the fall, there was no anxiety. There was no fear. There was no depression. There was no insecurities. All the relationships were in harmony. But because of the fall, relationships would become in disharmony. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no sin. There was no death. There was no shame. It was a perfect place of perfect perfection. That is the world through Christ that we have to look forward to. But we today, yes, today on the earth right now, you are a part of the kingdom of God. Do you realize that? You are a part of the kingdom of God. Yes, I may not live today in a perfect world. I'm still looking forward to that day. But Jesus Christ is my jubilee today, not just tomorrow, but he is my jubilee today. He is the one that has set me free. I do not have to live under the sentence of eternal death. But in Christ Jesus, I live today a life that is a one of eternal life. Let's look at some supporting scriptures. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. In chapter 2, we read verses 1 through 10 because there's just no starting or stop place on this. In verse 1, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, you and I. He's your jubilee. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But now today I am not, because Jesus is my jubilee. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 12. In verse 12 it says that at the time that you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, because Christ is what? He is your jubilee.
Amen.
He has set us free. And he says, you will be free indeed. The challenge for us today is to recognize that those things don't have to be a part of my life, and I reject them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Those things that came through that original fall and that original sin, oh, I live in a world of sin, but I am not a sinner anymore. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, brother and sister, I have been redeemed from the curse. It is no longer a part of my life. Today, spiritually, I am seated in the heavenlies with the Christ Jesus. I was once alienated from the commonwealth of God, but I am no longer alienated. But through my faith in Christ, I'm not only a child of God, but I am an heir to the promise.
Amen.
How many of us have longed for that great lost uncle that we never knew in our whole entire life? We never knew of that uncle. But we found out that he was a multi-millionaire, and I find out that I was his only living heir. Well, let me tell you, we are heirs to the King of the universe. And our inheritance far outweighs any earthly inheritance. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I'm trying to move quickly, but I want to savor this as much as we can before we move to the baptism service. But in Romans chapter 5, when you go to verse 6, look at this. Romans 5, verse 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, and that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life," because Jesus is our jubilee. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. The scripture is just full of it today. In verse 14, it says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and the daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 4, verse 21, "Today, right now, the scripture is being fulfilled in your hearing. You see, saints, I may have to wait for that perfect world to come, but today, because of my Lord Jesus and being my jubilee, I've already started enjoying the blessings of my inheritance." You don't have to wait for them. They're today. The curse is no longer on my life. Today, right now, available to me. In Christ, I have no fear. In Christ, I have no anxiety. I can have healing and wholeness today. I can have forgiveness today. My life is free from anxiety. It's free from fear. I can have eternal life. I can have whole relationships and not broken relationships. I can have peace that is available to me. Is that who you are, and that is that what you're living in? Are you living in the wholeness that Jesus wants for you? He wants for all of us. What does he say? Ask anything in my name. Ask anything in my name. You have that relationship that you can ask anything in his name, and it will be done. In John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, and I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." John 8, chapter 44 says that Satan is a liar, that he is a father of all lies. How long are you going to continue to believe his lies about you? You don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in anxiety. Quit believing the lies and start walking in the truth of the Holy Scriptures. Jesus is my jubilee. That's no more a part of my life. It is gone from my life. I claim his healing in my life. I claim his wholeness in my body. I want the goodness of God that he has provided for each and every one of us today. Start walking in your year of jubilee. I speak wholeness. And I speak healing to this body today. Anxiety just eats people up. And it just makes me mad. It makes me mad because Christ is here to set you free. We're going to dismiss in prayer. We're going to go out underneath the carport. And we're going to do a baptism service, and you guys just gather around, and I'm just going to read a couple scriptures and have prayer, and then we're going to do the baptism. So we're dismissed from here. Father, just be with us as we go our separate ways, and thank you. We thank you for the power of your word. Oh, hallelujah. The adversary is defeated by your word. Boy, he was defeated here today. And we're not picking it back up no more, Lord. We've been set free, and we thank you for that. Lord, be with us as we go to the baptism service. Bless those that are being baptized in their commitment and obeying your word, Father. And Lord, I pray that you touch every and each and every one of them. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.